everybody. This is Murray Leghorn, and you're listening to Chicken Talk Radio. Today's episode, The Rooster Factor. Our current flock numbers about 30 chickens, from chicks to multi-year birds. Nearly a third of these are roosters, 10 in all. Most people would say that this is about 9 roosters too many. Are we demented, or are there factors at work? One reason we have so many roosters is simply that our flock represents a mix of breeds, many of which are available only through straight run. I guess we're too tender-hearted to cull excess males. But another factor is that we actually like roosters and find that they are a necessary element for a functioning flock. A good rooster, no, that's not an oxymoron, is a devoted and alert protector of his hens, constantly aware of potential dangers or hazards. They also keep a certain rough order. The boss rooster won't tolerate fighting among subordinates. They also constantly search out food and potential nest sites, calling the hens over to any windfalls and sharing food items to the point of self-denial. Roosters also add spice and visual appeal to any flock. Their antics, especially the jockeying for dominance and the interactions between birds, are always worth watching. The idea that the pecking order is fixed is only partly true. It's actually more dynamic, with subtle shifts and alliances that respond to time and circumstance. Chickens are the original birds-of-a-feather creatures, and so a large assembly of birds will subdivide into smaller groups, largely based on feather coloration, as well as age or personal inclination. Thus, out of 30-plus birds, we actually have 3 distinct flocks, each with a lead rooster and a few chosen subordinates. Just how leaders are made and maintained will be the subject of a future Chicken Talk segment. For today, I want to focus on roosters, the good, the bad, and the ugly. For many people, the only good rooster is one that's stewing in a pot. For these folks, roosters are bad-tempered, aggressive, and noisy nuisances. And if the truth be known, some roosters are more than glad to personify this cliche for you to the best of their ability. In this case, the best solution is simple. Incorrigible roosters should be eaten. The rest, however, really want to lead useful lives, and it's up to you to help them reach this goal. Chickens aren't stupid. They know you're not one of them. But at the same time, chickenness is the only way they know how to relate to you, so those are the rules you need to follow. As we'll see later, this has serious ramifications for all parties concerned. Roosters are also keenly aware of gender differences. They react entirely differently towards me than they do to female caretakers, and this is an important factor too. As we mentioned in an earlier talk, chickens are obsessed with status. Besides food, it's a ruling passion, and roosters are no exception. Status is measured by dominance, and dominance is achieved through intimidation and aggression. As far as chickens are concerned, what chest-pushing and feather-puffing can't accomplish, a peck on the head will. Most chickens prefer intimidation. It's safer and easier, but they'll wade in eagerly to make their point when all else fails. What this means is that you need to walk a fine line with your roosters. The wisest of them are quite amenable to some sort of mutual non-aggression pact. In the best cases, you can even arrive at a state of mutual respect and coexistence. This is the way it is between our lead rooster, Big Roo, and myself. Roosters have something like 17 times the testosterone levels that human males do, and for some of them, this is a difficult burden to manage. With birds such as these, your relation will be more dynamic and will need adjustment from time to time. In my earlier, more idealistic days as a chicken wrangler, I thought that mutual respect was enough to do the trick. But that's a human construct. Cutting slack in rooster world is seen as a sign of weakness, a power vacuum to be filled. I learned this lesson fairly early from Squeaker, a banty old English gamecock. Squeak is the size of a blue jay, but in his eyes, he is the baddest dude in town, and although he can't really damage the larger birds, neither does he back down. His technique of running between the legs of larger, taller birds, and thus always being able to attack from behind, is actually as effective as it is hilarious. Anyway, after several months of fending off Squeak's attacks, always when your back is turned, I had had it. Enter the yellow stick. painted with yellow and black stripes. It is used as a last resort. Finally fed up with Squeak, we squared off. Remembering that Japanese and other warrior types had used feathers as a sort of armor, I decided that Squeak could probably take more than a few love taps. My surmise was entirely correct, and I began clocking him with great enthusiasm, the result of several months of frustration. Taking a page from their own book, I made sure to make his head a prime target with great effect. Squeak started screaming and running around hysterically while I pursued him mercilessly. "Oh, you want to fight? I thought we were friends." That was my mantra chanted between blows. I chased him for several minutes until we were both panting. I'm not a mean person, so I was careful not to hurt anything except his pride and his inflated sense of power. I have to admit, though, that was the most fun I've had in a long time, and the little rat deserved it because of his ungrateful and backstabbing nature. It was also for his own good. The upshot of this episode was a new, respectful Squeaker, one that I could safely turn my back on, and one who acknowledged that, according to the rules, I was the big cheese and not to be messed with. The effects of that first correction lasted for more than a year. Roosters are sensitive. I know, it sounds absurd, but it's true. So, you need to be careful not to break their spirit in the course of correcting them. It's not that hard. A skillful combination of the rod and scratch grain will do the trick every time. My bout with Squeak was good training, because in my next confrontation, a confrontation with an 8-pound Shamu cock named Guapo, I would need all the skill and cunning I could summon up. But that's another story for another time. Thanks for listening. This has been Murray Leghorn, and you're listening to Chicken Talk Radio.